And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Richard C. Hoagland. Lots to talk about with Richard C., head of the EnterpriseMission.com. Also, his best-selling book, DarkMission.net. That's its website for that. One of the things we'll talk with him about is Professor Paul Davies, who's a physicist at Arizona University, is going to tell the Royal Society, as a group of experts and scientists, that the search for aliens should start on Earth, not outer space. Richard, what does he mean by that?
Well, this is code. Well, I mean, you know, we've been talking about this for years. We've particularly been talking about this for the last year, and we've been giving kind of periodic or semi-periodic updates as to how this so-called disclosure message is going to unfold, and what you're seeing is another data point on the board. If you actually saw the headline from, I think it was the London Times, it says, Royal Society to Discuss Extraterrestrials on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 99.99% of the literate world that would read that, and probably maybe even half of our audience, if you just read that headline, you would leap to the conclusion that the Royal Society is talking about little green guys walking around Rodeo Drive.
Exactly.
Right?
They're already here.
Yeah. Now, you got to get down to the fine print to discover that, oh, they're only going to be talking about microbes. And even Colin Pillinger doesn't think that the guy, Davies, who thinks this is a cool idea for looking at alien microbes on Earth, he wants to go to Mars and look for alien microbes. But that's not where most people are going to remember the story. The headline says it all.
Exactly.
Royal Society is looking for extraterrestrials on Earth. Now, the reason this is interesting, George, and I wanted to have a kind of a big picture discussion about this tonight in the hour we've got minus, you know what, is because so many things are happening. So many separate pieces of evidence are assembling themselves on the board that I am thinking more and more that, in fact, 2010, echoing my dear departed friend Arthur C. Clarke's infamous subtitle for his movie, 2010,
right,
is going to be the year we make contact.
You think so?
I think so because all the dots are ordering themselves in that direction.
It's not going to be like David Wilcock has said.
No, I
do. We're not going to have President Obama flanked by aliens.
David and I are friends. You and David are friends.
Yes.
We respect David's work.
We
love his work. The problem with David's model, and even some of David's model might be rescued in a minute when I get to the punchline of this. The problem with David's model is he's listening to intel people. And I would not trust an intel person as far as I could, you know, boot them, you know, from the 40-yard line.
They're misleading him.
Well, I think they're deliberately misleading him because they're misleading those who are following this conversation closely. Look, let us back up, okay? Do you ever, as host of Coast to Coast, have a kind of a schizophrenic feeling?
What do you mean schizophrenic?
No,
about
it's
what?
It's a very serious question. You sit in that chair. Well, actually, you pace, but most people don't know that.
Well, that's true. I do pace.
Night after night after night, and you listen to people like the good doctor who was on the show before I was, and the caller who was hit by a truck who had this incredibly powerful story. And you listen to a panoply of other guests who are reporting from the edges of the known and the unknown. Amazing phenomenon, amazing personal experiences, amazing research. Now, just for a minute, you know, contrast that with what you see if you look at Fox or CNN or MSNBC or CBS or NBC or ABC or whatever. These two worlds, George, are becoming almost totally separate realities. The State of the Union coming up tomorrow night by the President of the United States will deal with nothing overt, which is the part and parcel of the main staple of the reportage of this show. And yet the same people who listen to us, who listen to you night after night, who listen to all these guests, who listen to all these experiences and all this research, they are the same people who are Americans, mostly taxpayers, voters, followers of CNN, MSNBC, Fox, et cetera, et cetera. So not only do you live a schizophrenic life, as well as me, but so does most of this audience, because they have one foot in the so-called reality of CNN and the other foot in the reality of what we deal with nightly, year in, year out, on this program, which basically says there's a lot more to life than how many jobs are lost or created in the next quarter.
Yes, exactly.
Now, what I'm going to try to do in the next 40 minutes is to tell a story, tell a narrative, which is backed up by some very extensive research that's going to appear on enterprisemission.com in the next day or so, part three of my three-part series on what was the Norway spiral really and what the hell was really going on.
I'd love to get your take on that again.
And why did it appear the same day that on Russian television, a video of a huge rotating tetrahedron hanging over the Kremlin also appeared?
And wasn't CERN firing some things up that day?
Well, CERN had an experiment on the 8th, but it lasted a few seconds, milliseconds, and then it was over. And no, that's not part of this equation.
All right.
The dots that I am finding, which include, incidentally, the Haitian earthquake. Did you know that Cesar Chavez?
Oh yeah, not Cesar, Hugo.
Hugo, I'm sorry. Cesar Chavez was the.
He was the migrant farm.
Yeah, the migrant farm worker activist. An excellent guy, really great guy. Hugo Chavez, who's the head of Venezuela, who is not our friend, not Obama's friend, not democracy's friend, but is somehow being trumpeted on Russian television again.
Oh, they love this guy.
And they put him up there in an official broadcast, spouting the idea that the United States of America has some kind of secret weapon connected to, and this is important, HAARP, which was used specifically to target Haiti and create the death and devastation and destruction that we've all watched now for 2 weeks on our TV screens.
Now, here's what's so bizarre about that. I don't think we targeted Haiti, but I do think we might have that kind of weapon.
See, this is where things become a little blurry, because now what you're doing, George, is you're mixing the Coast universe with the CNN Realpolitik universe.
But you have to.
Well, yeah, in a normal, rational world, which I don't think we live on anymore.
We aren't, none
Dorothy,
of us.
But yes, those two realities have got to come together. And let me tell you why, okay? There's a useful rule of thumb, which came to me by way of my dear departed friend Ted Sturgeon, who was an exquisite science fiction writer back in the 50s and 60s. And I had the pleasure of sharing an ocean voyage called The Voyage Beyond Apollo with Ted. He was one of my invited guests when I was, as an impresario, producing those cruises, from the Cape, et cetera.
Well, that would have been fun going on.
Oh, you would have loved it. We had such fun.
By the way, did you get that picture of you behind President Obama?
Yes.
Though it wasn't you, it looks identical to me. And by the way, there is something going on the internet, a picture of you and me on a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm driving it. You're behind holding on to me for dear life. And somebody has photoshopped our faces on people.
Yeah, I did see that one.
All right, go ahead.
Well, you know that you've arrived somewhere when they start making fun of you. Anyway,
yeah,
back to these two realities, because this is really important for this audience tonight, for our Coast family to get, that you are living, everyone listening to us now, in two realities simultaneously. And if you follow Sturgeon's law, which was that 90% of everything is crud, that leaves, George, 10%, right?
And that's big.
That's huge, because remember, what that says, if you apply that very simple rule of thumb to life, to all experience, to things you hear, to rumors, to the stuff you go to Walmart and buy, if you apply that across the board, it means that if only 10% of the people that come on this show are telling us the truth, that is the truth, the capital T, in other words, it's a facet of the reality that we live, then that in itself must recontext everything else that we experience day to day, from the internet that doesn't work to the IRS getting after us to the, you know, the fact that our bank account is suddenly overdrawn to the fact that kids need new shoes, that the mortgage is, you know, 5 months in arrears. Those two realities have got to come together at some point. Otherwise, we are indeed living a schizophrenic life, and that never, ever persists in human experience very long.
When they come together, will it be like an explosion?
Well, it will be what is called in the political realm a game changer. And I think we are coming up, as I've been saying now for month after month after month, we are coming up to a game changer. And I think whoever was behind the Norway spiral, and remember, the same night, this huge blocks-wide tetrahedron floating over the center of power of the former Soviet Union, but not seen by millions of Muscovites, which, of course, is an absolute impossibility unless you're dealing with stealth technology, and someone wanted those videos out. Now, who could that have been? It had to have been the Russian government itself, because they put that video of those tetrahedrons, both a daytime view and a nighttime view, on Russian television.
Yep.
And the only folks that control Russian television is, you know,
the Russian government. Yep, that's right.
It's the Russian government. So the Russian government wanted that image to the West. So the question, one of the questions I have in terms of these two realities is there a similar spacecraft hanging over the White House tonight that no one can see because you have to have the right technology to pierce the stealth technology to be able to see it? In other words, we are beginning to look at something that kind of resembles, either in reality or by design, by a production design, by a propaganda story. We're beginning to look at something that resembles Independence Day.
Yes, exactly.
And that could be the outside game changer, which may be previewed in some way by President Barack Obama's State of the Union tomorrow night on all networks.
Tomorrow, Wednesday night, right?
Well, it's tomorrow night.
No, tomorrow's Tuesday.
No, today is Tuesday.
Oh, I see what you mean. All right.
Semantics. It's already Tuesday, George.
It's already Tuesday. That's true.
Yes.
All right. Technically, you're right.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, the point is that all these dots, and again, remember where Wilcock was getting his info from. He was getting it from these intel sources that he, for some god-awful reason, believes in 100%.
Well,
never, ever believe in anything 100%.
Well, you believe in your sources from NASA, don't you?
No, of course not. What I do is I counterpoint one against the other, against the data, against the numbers, against the trends, against the what I see in the news. In other words, doing this kind of analysis requires a very broad spectrum approach where no single source is elevated above the rest of the sources, and you do a kind of a distillation. The problem with David, and I've told him this to his face, is that he's trusting basically a couple of guys who have every vested interest on the planet to disinform, to be disingenuous, to basically lie, to prevaricate, to spin, to tell tall tales, to exaggerate, to do whatever it is that will undercut the eventual power of the event when these two worlds come smashingly, suddenly together. And a lot of mainstream folks are going to have to consider things that they think automatically are absolutely insane and nonsense and never to be discussed in polite society.
But if you had sources that told you President Obama was going to have an international news conference with two extraterrestrials flanking him, you would have said, come on. I know you would. But David took it as face value.
Well, I don't take anything at face value.
You don't. I know that.
And David appeared, for some reason, he appeared, well, of course he wants to believe this, because other data he has follows that trend curve. But here's the interesting detail in David's intel sources. They are saying, and this is what really got me intrigued with David's whole scenario, even though I don't agree with it in terms of timing or in terms of detail, I do agree in terms of the overarching idea, which is that this president, sooner rather than later, is going to have to bite the bullet and admit what most of us listening to you and me tonight already know, which is we're not alone. It's in how you bell the cat. It's in how you get pregnant. I mean, I got a million of these metaphors. You want me to do some more?
Hey, give me a quick update before the break on your travel schedule.
Hang on. Right. Let me do this last closure.
All right.
So the detail of David's relay of this information from insiders that really rang true to me was that Obama was being pushed to do this by outside forces, and this was not on his agenda or his plate or his timetable either. Now, we go back to what kind of force could be awesome enough to develop a spiral in the skies over Norway that was literally almost 500 miles across or high.
The secret space program.
And the same folks who were positioning a tetrahedron spacecraft floating on anti-gravity torsion field drives, whatever you want to call it, over the most powerful protected airspace on the planet, the Kremlin in the former Soviet Union. Somebody with that kind of demonstrated awesome capability is exactly the kind of outside force that David's intel folks seem to be so upset and mad about that is forcing this along, even though they don't want it.
You've heard about this latest bin Laden statement, right?
Yeah, sure.
I can't tell you how many emails I've just received today from people who say, how can the dead bin Laden say this?
Precisely. Incidentally, they showed on Morning Joe this morning, and I was up working, so I saw it, a picture of bin Laden surrounded by white light. And to his everlasting credit, Joe Scarborough stopped and said, what the hell is that picture showing? It makes him look like a damn saint.
Yeah. Yeah, something godly.
And it was, in other words, within the media itself, thank God, there are people beginning to wake up and realize that there is spin everywhere.
Including the swine flu and everything else.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable. Travel, what's up with you? You're going to the Conscious
Robin
Life?
Well, Robin and I have a very complicated and busy schedule intersecting with your complicated and busy schedule in a couple weeks in Los Angeles. I'm giving two presentations, a major presentation and a follow-up workshop. Robin is actually chairing and organizing and producing and wearing every other hat you can imagine, a panel of brilliant healthcare professional experts who are going to give you a top-to-bottom review when you come and, you know, attend of where we are health-wise in the early month of 2010, the end of this first decade of the 21st century. I would guarantee you that you're going to learn things and meet people that you would not want to miss. So by all means, get up to the enterprise.com website or to Robin's website, which is healthfreedomrights.com, and click on the LA Expo, I can never remember the name of it.
Conscious Life.
Conscious Life Expo, yes. There have been so many. And you will see the roster of guests that she's lined up for her panels. And you'll see the subject matter that I'm going to be discussing, which is not only the impending disclosure out of NASA itself of things that are unbelievable on the moon and elsewhere, but also what we're discussing tonight, because I'm going to have the actual visuals from our research into the spiral and the tetrahedron over Moscow, and I'm going to tell people the rest of the story of what this really seems to mean. And hopefully we'll not be upstaged by the rapidity of the way events are accelerating, because by the time we actually get to the conference, which is the weekend of the 12th of February.
Hold on, Richard. Can we take this break? We'll be right back. We'll take some calls with Richard C. Hoagland in about 10 minutes here on Coast to Coast AM. Richard, you were just about talking about the rest of your Conscious Life presentation.
Yeah, you're on a panel with Zach Sitchin, aren't you?
Yes, I'm looking forward to this.
You know that he has been running at Warp 9 for me for decades. He will not talk to me. He will not appear in public. He doesn't want me on that panel because obviously I would ask him some very important questions.
Well, I'm sure you would, so feed him to me.
I will.
Okay.
This is going to be fun because, this will just be fun. And another reason that people should show up. By the way, if you do not have a computer, if you're one of the few on the planet that do not have a computer.
That happens.
For a lot of the Coast audience, I understand they do not have computers. So if you want to make an old-fashioned telephone call to the Expo to get tickets, because there are tickets still left for both Robin's events and mine, and I'm sure yours, you can call 1-800.
No, mine are sold out, Richard.
Oh, well then.
I'm kidding.
Forget George. 1-800-367-5777. I love the sevens. They're very tetrahedral. 1-800-367-5777. Sounds like the old ABC number in New York for, what was his name, Sandy Beach?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so you can get tickets by calling 367-5777. It's an 800 number. And it'll be well worth your while because, look, we are coming up, I strongly believe, to a breakpoint, to a radical game changer where all the stuff we talk about on this show is going to come tumbling out of the closet. Now, I've been reading many discussions by my friends in the UFO community, and there are some really important scholars like Rick Dolan, you know, and
yep.
Nick Pope and others that you don't know, like Vince White, who really – you should probably have Vince White on the show at some point. He is a very important researcher in the Midwest, and he writes a hell of a line, and actually he would be a very useful guy to have on as a guest as an overview for culturally and socially and technologically what's going to happen when this breakpoint is reached. But we are running at warp 9 up to this point where it has got to come out of the closet. Because if you read part 3, of this very lengthy, research study that I put together on, you know, was the spiral a Nobel message to Obama? And you also note then that the same kind of bizarre, extraordinary demonstration of power occurred over the heart of the former Soviet Union the same night. That says that there's somebody who's not happy with the two big power blocks on this planet. We don't know what the Chinese had going, because they obviously are not revealing what's going on over there. They're a much more closed society than Russia is now. But we're coming up to something. Now, what you need to do when you read the piece is you need to put together the fact that this spiral, George, had multiple redundant 19.5s in its very location. And in order to understand that, you have to actually read the piece, because I can't describe that basically on radio. You got to have the graphics and the pictures.
The number keeps coming up, doesn't it?
Yep. Well, because it's a key tetrahedral physics number. Now, that object, that artificially generated object, which was not just the Russian missile, something destroyed that Russian missile and used it to send this message, details in the piece on enterprisemission.com. The same people who did that seem to have been either warning or alerting or giving a heads up to the idea that 19.5 was going to be important. And what happened a few days later? The Haiti earthquake.
Yep.
At 19.5.
Interesting.
Now, Chavez has somehow got to be in his bonnet that this was not an act of God. This was an artificial technology that was wielded by the United States for some purposes for us to invade Haiti, like we need to invade Haiti. I mean, we got Puerto Rico, which is also at 19.5, okay? But he's missing a larger frame. The earthquake happened on January 12th, which is 12 days after the turn of the new year. The Norway spiral appeared on December 9th, which was 12 days before the 21st, which is the anniversary of 2012, when, if we believe the worst-case scenario, the world ends much like Haiti was destroyed.
Interesting.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah.
And if some external force, let's not even give it a persona or a name yet, if some external force is basically trying to wake up the power centers of this planet to do something while there is still time, that is one scenario that one could construct from this set of events.
Or they're saying we can do anything we want.
Or it is a demonstration of sheer raw power, which would be basically putting the two most technologically advanced nations, superpowers remaining on this planet, on notice that the game is now gone to someone else. Which goes back to Wilcox Intel sources, which are saying disclosure will come because it's being forced from an external source. The way you run this game is you put these dots together and you try to project several possible outcomes, not betting everything you got on any one outcome, because you can't do that. This is so much like the 1950s and reading, you know, the tea leaves, trying to figure out what was going on in the Kremlin when we had no spies and no satellites and nothing except, you know, guessing by golly. I really believe, for this and a lot of other reasons that will be in the piece, that you're going to be seeing in this year, 2010, something of a game-changing magnitude that's going to wake up an awful lot of people that the realities that we discuss almost every night on this show are, in fact, the norm. And the CNN world that you see when you're watching the news at night, that is the restricted, constricted, highly programmed by the guys that run this planet version of reality they have allowed you to see and not allowed you to see the larger reality which encompasses that plus all the other stuff we talk about here nightly.
I love it. Let's go taking a few calls here, Richard. Knoxville, Tennessee, first-time caller. Hey, Ann, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us.
Hi there. Hi. I'm real interested in what you're saying, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. My husband and I have listened a long time, and we really enjoy it. We've had our own experiences, and we've recently been reading some David Icke materials. And what you're talking about with the Tetra and the mass destruction and how that could have happened and been controlled, I kind of have my own theory on this. David Icke mentions how 95% of our DNA is junk DNA that scientists can't explain, and how that maybe is a transmitter and receiver for us as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm thinking is they also talked about how the Tetra can control humans through possibly through the that they can implant in us the
manipulate
microchip.
Like the Manchurian candidate.
You might like implants or
like with a chip or, you know, and cause a mass depression or a mass or even a single person to be depressed.
Yeah, well, that's the so-called weird technology associated with HARP.
Right. And my feeling is that if our junk DNA is transmitters and receivers and we can massively be depressed or massively be, or, you know, singled out, either way, if everything that we feel and think affects the universe, that would be a way for them to engineer a mass destruction. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, but then you have to look at how the universe seems to operate, which is for every force, there is a counterforce.
Exactly.
For every bunch of bad guys, there are good guys. And
exactly.
We all have free will. The name of the game here seems to be a battle, almost a cosmic war, to use a title from my friend Joseph Farrell, who's explored this in great depth with his book series going back thousands upon thousands of years in other civilizations. There is a much bigger picture here. You obviously get it. And we're only being spoon-fed little tiny hints like this Royal Society meeting. If it wasn't so serious and so important to the well-being of 6 billion people on this planet tonight, it would almost be funny. It'd almost be comical. They really, really are terrified of letting us know what the reality that we're immersed in really is. And it's you know, again, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be comical to see them squirm as to how to ultimately let us in on the big secret, which is everything we've talked about on this show, at least 10% of it, if not more, is real.
Maybe more. Have you been following this story about Hillary Clinton? she was meeting with Lawrence Rockefeller in the 90s?
I've seen the book, and I've seen the close-ups and the cover.
Yeah.
Look, Cameron...
She was holding that book. You agree?
Yeah. There's no question.
Paul Davies' book, Are We Alone?
Yeah. And it's like back then, the Clintons were wrestling with how do we come out of the closet. And, of course, Bill Clinton made the mistake of basically, you know, asking the wrong questions of the wrong people, and they slapped him down hard. I think Barack Obama is smarter. I think he's a lot more politic. I think he's got a lot of experience, and the people around him experience, that if they are forced to do this, they're going to do it in a way that has an upside as opposed to just downsides. But I don't think anybody on this planet wants to disclose this reality, and they are being forced to by events essentially beyond their control, and I don't think we're going to have to wait a long, a lot more time before we basically see the proof of that. Now, there's one other element. Back in November, I appeared at the Secrets Conference and gave a 2.5-hour presentation on the connection between John Kennedy, his murder, 2012, and Barack Obama and the current administration and this push toward whatever disclosure we may be going to get. That is now ready. By Wednesday, by the day of Obama's State of the Union, I've been informed by my distributor that the pressings have been done and we'll be able to ship to all those people who have ordered at the 800 number that we have for that, the DVD that I've been promising you as a Christmas present for way too long.
About 8 Christmases ago.
Remember, Christmas is an idea.
That's true.
It's not a date. So for those that want to get that as a backdrop to what you're going to read for free on Enterprise, which is how this all connects in 2010, the year we make contact, you can call that number at 1-877-345-6222. That's 1-877-345-6222. One of the first DVDs, George, is going to you. And so what I expect is for you to take a look at it in your copious spare time.
Okay.
And let me know what you think, because I've really tried to bring the distillation of a quarter of a century of doing this together at a time when politically it looks like we're about to really get pregnant.
Yeah, you put a lot of work into this one. Let's go to Sean, Little Rock, Arkansas, east of the Rockies. Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. It's great talking to you.
Sure.
Talking about numbers that are very dear to my heart, which are Puerto Rico's, it's actually 18 degrees north, 17.4 to 18.5. I know that in particular because I was born there on the 18th of December, 18 hours after John Kennedy had visited the Air Force Base of Ramey Air Force. Ramey Air Force Base. And anyway, I just wanted to correct that.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Paul in Upland, California, wildcard line. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi,
George.
Richard and George. I was going to ask you, what would the government's accountability be in a UFO disclosure? If it is true about they have been cooperating with aliens and allowing them to abduct our citizens, wouldn't that make them guilty of high treason and anyone else who knew about it?
This is where things get extremely complicated. And, you know, I don't do UFOs because up until very recently I felt UFOs were untestable. That basically you can't quantify or predict lights in the sky. And people who report being abducted, obviously there's no evidence. Someone's very careful to make sure there is no evidence, so we have to basically rely on their testimony. I like going with evidence that I can replicate, that I can, you know, kick the tires, that I'm trying to do this from the scientific perspective. However, as soon as it became pretty clear that we were dealing with elements potentially of a secret human space program, and now this gets into who has actually been hijacking our planet, and I don't think it's aliens. I really, when it comes, you know, when push comes to shove, I think we're dealing with human beings who are doing to other human beings exactly what human beings have been doing on this planet for thousands of years, which is basically when they get a bit of power, they lord it over those who don't have power, and they try to take control.
Manipulate and control.
Yep. Now, what I find disturbing is that somebody, if what happened in Haiti was deliberate, whether it was the secret space program run by humans, you know, heirs to the Nazi technology developments that Joe Farrell documents so thoroughly, or it's really ETs. Whoever would murder, you know, casually 200,000+ human beings and destroy the lives of another million, I don't want to deal with those people. Do you?
Never.
So what are we involved in? Now, there are some other surprises that are going to be at the end of part three, which has to do with evidence, actual hard technical evidence from NASA of the existence of this secret space program that appears to be paraded on NASA websites deliberately, even though NASA itself does not yet recognize or understand what they're looking at. And this is data which has come in the last 36 hours. We are moving rapidly at Warp 9 to, as I said, a potential game changer. And the question then is, what was the purpose of the demonstration over Norway? What was the purpose of Haiti, if in fact it was involved? What was the purpose of the tetrahedron hanging over the Kremlin, if in fact it has a purpose connected to the other two, which I believe and can document in part three that it does? And by the way, to the caller that said that Puerto Rico and Haiti are not at 19.5, he's thinking in terms of geographic latitude, longitude. I'm thinking in terms of geodetic, because the Earth is not a perfect sphere. It's a oblate spheroid, and the latitudes change when you're looking at the mass fraction of, relative to the center of the Earth as opposed to the surface geography.
I love it. Richard, do you and Robin have a safe trip to Los Angeles? I'll see you in a couple weeks.
We will see you in a couple weeks, and as soon as I get part three done, I'll give you a holler, and maybe we can do another one of these short thingies.
You got it. Thanks, Richard. It's Richard C. Hoagland. Don't forget, our program tomorrow night, fascinating show with Richard Bendler as we talk about get the life that you want. Nothing wrong with that, is there? For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.